Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today's show, The Religion of Peace and Huma Abedin. The Religion of Peace and Huma Abedin. Of course, Abedin is basically the chairman of Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. She's the vice chairwoman of the presidential campaign of Hillary Clinton. And there are newly released articles from a journal, an Islamic, basically a Saudi Arabian propaganda journal for how to push Islam in the West. Newly released articles are being reported on by the New York Post from the years when Huma Abedin was an editor. She was the assistant editor of the Journal of Muslim Minority Affairs. And so we're going to get to that. Did they criticize the fact that women in Saudi Arabia are not allowed to drive a car? Of course not. Do they criticize that women in Saudi Arabia can't travel without a male escort? Of course not. Did they criticize the fact that there is no religious freedom in Saudi Arabia, no synagogues in the city of Mecca, even though it's a city of 500 square miles and a million people? Not a single synagogue. In fact, in the whole country, there's not a single church. And we have here in Denver, the Denver Post will refer to Islam as a religion of tolerance. What a joke. And a religion of peace, when there are still a number of countries around the world that have on their law books that if you convert from Islam, say to Christianity, that is a capital crime, you can be put to death. Like, for example, Saudi Arabia. So Huma Abedin now, thanks to the New York Post and Paul Sperry there, now that we realize that here is concrete evidence of her Islamic worldview, when her husband is caught in sex scandal after scandal after scandal, you could see how Hillary Clinton truly has been Huma's mentor. Because Hillary Clinton, with her political ambition, her lust for power, basically was stuck with Bill Clinton. And regardless of how he humiliated her, she was stuck with him. So she enabled him to sexually abuse and assault women because there was nothing she could do about it. And so humiliation, it's humiliation. Huma Abedin, Hillary was her mentor. So she's in the exact same situation with her pathetic excuse of a husband and all his embarrassing sexual behavior with even strangers. So, of course, part of the Islamic worldview that Huma Abedin, and in her role as editor of the Journal of Muslim Minority Affairs, part of what she would defend in the Islamic worldview is the dress of millions of women forced to cover up from head to toe in public. And it's interesting that now, in the past few weeks, the burkini, you've heard of the burkini? The Western culture introduced something that's horrific and should be shameful, but the bikini to women. And so Muslim women will go on the beach, not dressed in modest swimwear, but in something effectively like a burqa. And so the media has taken to calling it a burkini. So a cross between a burqa and a bikini. A burkini. So in France, there is coastal city after city that they've been banning the burkini on the beach, banning it. And the Muslims are freaking out over it. That's not surprising, right? So an Italian minister, Italy's interior minister, has warned because there are Italian coastal cities that are considering banning the burkini there too. And so he has warned, basically saying, hey, if you ban the burkini, you might provoke terror attacks. Islam, the religion of peace, they may kill you if you ban the burkini. So, and by the way, what a great website, this thereligionofpeace.com. If you go to our website, kgov.com/terror, that's our main landing page for all things about terrorism. And right at the top, we have a link to thereligionofpeace.com, and they keep a running tally since 9/11 of all the lethal Islamic terrorist attacks committed by Muslims in their jihad. And now it's over 29,000 lethal attacks over 29,000 lethal where people have been killed. Not all the attacks where people were injured but not killed. So, at any rate, the religion of peace has basically instilled fear into countless, not only government bureaucrats, but average citizens, where if they speak out against Islam, even the extreme form of covering a woman up from head to toe except for her eyes, I mean, that robs a person of their humanity, of their individuality. Your face is your identity, your face. And to rob a human being of their face in public is servitude. It's unlawful servitude. And the women who say, oh, we like it, that's irrelevant to the fact that the culture has manipulated them. It's like a Stockholm syndrome where the kidnapped victim begins to defend her kidnappers. And so the interior minister of Italy says basically, hey, if we ban the burkini, we might get attacked. And I don't know if it was in response, but in France, the French prime minister, Manuel Valls, he said this. He said, the burkini is not a fashion. It's not a new range of swimwear. The burkini is the expression of a political project, a counter-society based notably on the enslavement of women. And that's basically the worldview of the journal that Huma Abedin was an editor of for more than a decade. Now, the clothing that women wear, that's, of course, just one aspect of the cruelty of Islam. I have in front of me a report based on the U.S. State Department findings on religious freedom in Islamic countries. And this is rather extraordinary. The countries that have the death penalty on the books as part of their law, if you convert from Islam to Christianity or other religions. All right, so I'm going to share this with you. This is all collected by csnews.com. And of course, the sources are public reports from the U.S. State Department, recent reports. But according to the State Department's most recent country reports on religious freedom, 6 Muslim countries consider apostasy from Islam a crime punishable by death. Is that too much? The State Department's International Religious Freedom Report on Iran says that Iran's constitution states that Shia Islam is the official state religion. So like Shiite Muslims, Shia Islam, like Sharia law and Shia Islam. That's their official religion. Well, the report says that the government automatically considers a child born to a Muslim father to be a Muslim and deems conversion from Islam to be apostasy, which is punishable by death. So if you grow up and you are now 23 years old and you hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ, you find a New Testament, you're reading in the Gospel of John, and you want to trust in Jesus Christ, you've just committed a crime against the state and against Allah. And if convicted, you can be punished by death. Do you remember recently, just a couple years ago, there was a young woman pregnant in a jail in an Islamic country, and she was sentenced to death because she refused to recant being a Christian, her faith in Jesus Christ? So this stuff is not just theoretical. Because of pressure from the West, Muslim nations are not putting people to death in any kind of significant numbers. In fact, perhaps not even since the 90s, but because of pressure from the West. But the more the West is intimidated, the more Muslims could be Muslims. And so you know what I'll do in a moment? I'll tell you what Muhammad said about putting to death someone who commits apostasy. All right, but to continue first with the State Department and their report on Iran and their Shia Islam. Quote, non-Muslims may not engage in public religious expression, persuasion, or conversation among Muslims. Such proselytizing is punishable by death. So not only is it a capital crime if you convert from Islam to Christianity, if you're a Christian sharing the gospel, it is a capital crime, according to the State Department. Now, Muslims will lie when they are in debates publicly. Not all, but many will lie and pretend that these things are not so. But the State Department is politically correct, if nothing else. And so this is basically testimony contrary to interest with the U.S. State Department, because they bend over backwards to be affirming to the Islamic world. So then they talk about Afghanistan, where Islam is the religion of the state. And here's a quote from the State Department regarding Afghanistan. Conversion, considered an act of apostasy and a crime against Islam, is punishable by death if the convert does not recant. How's that? And remember that the current Afghan government was established with the help of who? George W. Bush. After we invaded Afghanistan after 9/11, because the Taliban was supporting Al-Qaeda, they were giving them support, giving them sanctuary. And so we had every right to invade Afghanistan to take down their government, the Taliban, which is an Islamic terrorist organization, government. So we had every right to do that. The problem is we have no wisdom, and we don't know what to do afterward. It's one thing to defeat a government, and then what do you do? And George W. Bush certainly has no wisdom. I mean, he's a child killer socialist. So how much wisdom could he have? So and just go to prolifeprofiles.com/Bush to find out about him or Donald Trump, the child killer, or Mike Pence and so on. Okay, that's prolifeprofiles.com. So how about Saudi Arabia? Well, Saudi Arabia, this is from the State Department's religious freedom report on Saudi Arabia. Like the Taliban, quote, Sunni Islam is the official religion, and the country's constitution is the Quran and the Sunnah. What are the Sunnah? They are the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, the Sunnah. The law stipulates, according to the State Department, the law in Saudi Arabia stipulates that, quote, conversion from Islam to another religion is considered apostasy, which can be punishable by death. So, and thankfully, Western pressure has prevented conversion executions since the 90s. But how many Saudi Arabians are scared to death to consider the gospel because of this fear? In Sudan, the law and policies of the government favor Islam, according to the State Department. The law specifies imprisonment or death as punishment for those who convert from Islam to another religion. And I quoted that first quote because it's ironic that the State Department, the way they present it, they say, the laws of the government of Sudan favor Islam. They just favor Islam? They just favor Islam? Like they smile on imams when they pass a mosque? They smile? Is that all they do? Or do they declare in their law that if you convert away from Islam, you can be put to death? That's not just favoring Islam. And by the way, Sudan is where that young mom, the 27-year-old Miriam Ibrahim, was sentenced to death for apostasy. And they do give you a chance if you become a Christian or some other religion, but we're primarily talking about Christianity. because Judaism is not evangelical. The Jewish religion doesn't try to convert people to Moses or to Abraham. But Christianity, of course, is fundamentally evangelical to share the gospel of salvation with the world. And so at any rate, this 27-year-old Miriam, she was pregnant. You remember the photos from her in jail in a Sudanese prison? And because of the outrage from Christians around the world and others, but especially from Christians, she was released and allowed to leave Sudan, and she came here. Then you have Qatar's constitution, right? Some people pronounce it gutter. Qatar's constitution says Islam is the state religion, and it says it prohibits discrimination on the basis of religion. How's that? And the State Department, this is the U.S. State Department's assessment, quote, converting to another religion from Islam is considered apostasy and is a capital offense. And they say in their constitution, they prohibit religious discrimination. How's that? So apostasy can also be punished with death in Mauritania, where the constitution defines the country as an Islamic republic and recognizes Islam as the sole religion of its citizens and of the state. So, how's all that? Pretty good? Where do they get this idea that if you convert from Islam, you should be put to death? Where would they get that idea from? Because Barack Obama would say that's not Islamic. Well, how about they got it from Muhammad? How about that? Right? Islam, they have the Quran, and they have the hadiths. The hadiths are the teaching of Muhammad. I'll read two to you right now, one right after the other. And this is from the Bukhari hadith. Now, the hadiths are the teachings of Muhammad that were recorded in the 800s AD, Anno Domini, year of our Lord, Jesus Christ. So like 1,200 years ago. And in a section in volume 9, book 84, dealing with apostasy, okay? In that section, volume 9, book 84, number 56, and then number 57. Number 56, a man said, O Allah's apostle. So who's he talking to? Muhammad. O Allah's apostle, shall we be punished for what we did in the pre-Islamic period of ignorance? The prophet said, who's the prophet? Muhammad. The prophet said, whoever does good in Islam will not be punished for what he did in the pre-Islamic period of ignorance. And whoever does evil in Islam will be punished for his former and later deeds. Okay, that's number 56. Their numbers are not like our verses in the hadith. Their numbers are more like paragraphs. So here is from the Bukhari Hadith, volume 9, book 84, number 57. The next one. Some Zanadika, what's a Zanadika? Somebody who says there's no God. Some Zanadika were brought to Ali and he burnt them. Ali was a Muslim leader. The news of this event reached Ibn Abbas, another Muslim leader, who said, if I had been in his place, I would not have burnt them. Well, that sounds good, right? He said, if I had been in his place, I would not have burnt them as Allah's apostle forbade it, saying, do not punish anybody with Allah's punishment. Allah's punishment is fire. Don't punish anyone with fire. That's up to God to send fire down from heaven. So Allah's apostle, Muhammad, forbade it, saying, do not punish anybody with Allah's punishment. I would have killed them according to the statement of Allah's apostle. So just kill them, like by beheading. I would have not done that if I were him. I wouldn't have burned him at the stake. I would have just beheaded him. And then he said, I would have killed them according to the statement of Allah's apostle, quote, whoever changed his Islamic religion, then kill him, unquote. So that's where these Muslims are getting this. And the Bukhari Hadith is considered by tens of millions of Muslims as second in authority only to the Quran. It would be like a Roman Catholic taking the teachings of the Pope ex cathedra and saying, well, those are second only to the Bible. It'd be like that. And the Pope said this officially, and so it's authority. This teaching from Muhammad, whoever changed his Islamic religion, then kill him. So that's where they get these ideas from. They're not making them up. They're not sucking them out of the tips of their thumbs. In the face of that kind of Islamic worldview, culture, law, constitutions, in the Islamic world, you have newly revealed articles from this Journal of Muslim Minority Affairs. It's a Saudi Arabian propaganda piece. Basically, it's how to push Islam in the world, right? The Journal of Muslim Minority Affairs. How to push Islam in the West, basically. And so the vice chairwoman of Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign is Huma Abedin, right? She could end up being the future White House chief of staff. Could be. For more than a decade, she edited this radical Muslim publication. They did not criticize, and it's out of Saudi Arabia. She was raised in Saudi Arabia. She didn't criticize, the journal didn't criticize, but either by silence or outright support would defend women and the laws on women in Saudi Arabia and other Muslim countries. Like, for example, female genital mutilation, which is so despicable, but it's part of the Islamic culture. Saudi Arabia women are not allowed to drive a car. You think the Journal of Muslim Minority Affairs edited, assistant editor Huma Abedin, you think they argued against these practices or against women not being allowed to go out in public without male permission or an escort? She worked as editor of the journal while she was an intern for Hillary Clinton in the White House when Hillary was the first lady. I don't think it's right to call Hillary a lady, but when she was first lady, she's first child killer, she's first butcher, she's first enabler in chief of her husband, who's a sexual predator, and apparently even with children, because of his friendship with well-known pedophile, in fact convicted, pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, and flying on Epstein's private jet to his sex haven in the Caribbean, filled with children for years. So at any rate, Hillary is the enabler in chief of her sexual predator husband. And while she is playing that role and pretending to care about women, her intern in the White House as first lady is Huma Abedin. And Huma is Hillary's longest working aide, her closest aide. Huma Abedin's mother is Salia Abedin. She was the editor-in-chief of this Islamic journal while Huma was the assistant editor. Here's a quote from that journal. Quote, among all systems of belief, this is written by the mother with daughter as editor, among all systems of belief, Islam goes the farthest in restoring equality across gender. How's that? Islam does the best for restoring equality among gender? What if an Islamic woman wants to become a Christian? Forget that. She could be beheaded if she lives in Saudi Arabia. What if she wants to drive? Forget that. She'll be beat, flogged, and put in prison. How about domestic abuse? with the epidemic of domestic abuse in Islamic countries where the culture says it's okay for men to beat their wives. How about that? We have a terrible problem with domestic abuse in America because we sacrifice women on the altar of being nice to their beaters. So we take somebody who beats his wife and we give him a restraining order. Big deal. And then he beats her again, or his girlfriend, and we throw him in jail for 6 weeks. Big deal. And then they say, if you do it again, you'll be thrown in jail for 2 years. And he's released, and he beats her again. Big deal. And he goes into jail, and he watches movies and plays basketball. Big deal. So you know what the Journal of Muslim Minority Affairs says about men beating their wives? Oh, of course they say it's not right. But they do find a way to say something nice about it. You know, a few weeks ago, I stayed in Michigan at the Victory Inn in Ann Arbor. And one of the reviews, mine was Two Nights to Forget. Another was, it's hard to find something kind to say. That's the title of another review. Well, Huma Abedin's journal, they managed to find something kind to say, a kind word, about men beating their wives. They talk about the stress and frustrations that men encounter in their daily lives. And they say, you know, it's not going to do much good to punish men for this. It's not going to do much good to punish them. But basically, you know, if you reduce their frustration, then you won't be beat so often. They write this, more men are victims of domestic violence than women. And we find men suffering from many hardships and injustices. So basically, this is Hillary Clinton's top aide defending the Saudi Arabian Islamic mistreatment of women. And while she is the editor of the journal, she's working for Hillary Clinton. She was recently interviewed by Vogue, and where that magazine was shilling for Hillary. And she said, hey, my mother travels the world and talks about empowering women. That's normal. See that? That's normal. Well, Huma was working as the editor of the journal when the journal did an article on 9/11, and they basically blamed the victim. They blamed America for Muslim terrorists attacking us. Here's a quote. The various sanctions, like our sanctions against Iraq, created a time bomb that had to explode. And explode it did on September 11th, changing in its wake the life and times of the very community and the people it aimed to serve. Did you get that? That 9/11 attacking America, that was meant to serve Muslims, but it hasn't really helped all that much. And this is the Abedin family running this Muslim propaganda journal. And there's Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton, longest serving aide. What a nightmare. So the nightmare is called Islam, and our government lacks the wisdom to know right from wrong.